Tavallera couldn't think of a reply. His mind was working hard to digest all that Stoner was telling him. At last he asked, "Then we're not in orbit?" His voice sounded weak, almost pleading in his own ears. "Oh, we're in orbit, all right. That's really Earth hanging out there." Stoner's bearded face contracted into a perplexed frown. "The real question is, when are we?" "Huh?" Almost as if talking to himself, Stoner said, "We left Earth in AD 1985. Most of the time we traveled at relativistic velocities. I know that stretches out time, but now your local calendars read AD 2098, and that just doesn't make sense." Blinking with confusion, Tavallera asked, "Are you really Keith Stoner?" Stoner cocked his head slightly as if listening to some inner voice. Then he seemed to recognize Tavallera sitting there and answered, "Yes, I am Keith Stoner. But the records say you died in 1985. "So they say. How can..." Tavallera felt overwhelmed. He didn't know what question to ask. "This is crazy," he thought. "It's all crazy." "I know it seems peculiar to you," Stoner said, as if he could read Tavallera's mind. "There's a lot here that I don't understand myself. How'd I get into the spacecraft?" "You've been in space before," said Stoner. "You've been out at that habitat, orbiting Saturn." "I wish I was there now." Slowly, almost wearily, Stoner sat on the edge of a recliner identical to the one Tavallera was on. It hadn't been there beside him a moment before. "I've been looking through your historical records," Stoner said, his face utterly serious. "They don't jibe with my memory. Something strange is going on."
No kidding," Tavallera said.
"I'm not dead. I wasn't killed in an automobile accident in 1985. That's when we left in the starship."
"We? Who else is with you?"
As if he hadn't heard the question, Stoner went on musing. "Vanguard Industries was a huge multinational corporation, yet the only record of Vanguard Industries in your records shows it was a two-bit startup venture that folded in the 1990s.
"What's that got to do with anything?"
"And there's no record of Hubert Humphrey being president of the United States, or of Indira Gandhi being the first woman elected Secretary General of the United Nations."
"Who?"
Tavallera asked. His bearded face looking deeply troubled, Stoner went on, "Worst of all, there's no mention anywhere of the starship that swung through the solar system. Not even of Big Eye. All I could find was references to something called the Hubble Space Telescope."
"What starship? When?"
"It came into the solar system, passed by Jupiter, and then made a flyby of Earth. I went into space and rendezvoused with that starship. I was aboard it for years, frozen cryogenically. Joe got Vanguard Industries to retrieve me and bring me back."
"Joe?" Tavallera asked. "Who's Joe?"
Stoner almost smiled. "Sorry, I'm going too fast. Joe Camerata. She was head of Vanguard Industries, a big multinational corporation. Later on, she and I got married."
"She's your wife?"
Nodding, "Yes."
"And you were frozen on the alien's starship?"
Another nod. "I was the first human being to be recovered from cryonic suspension." Tavallera shook his head.
"I never heard of that. I mean, I've heard of people being frozen and then brought back to life." He thought of Holly. "But I never heard about an alien starship or you being the first corpsicle to be revived."
"I'm not surprised. I couldn't find a word about it in any of your historical records." Stoner's face hardened. "But I see that your government is freezing people convicted of crimes. Dissidents, political opponents. It's cheaper to keep them frozen than maintaining them in prison, or transporting them off-planet."
This guy must be crazy, Tavallera thought.
Then he realized, but if he is, how the hell did he bring me up to this spacecraft?
The whole thing is weird. It's way beyond weird.
I know it's unbelievable, Stoner said. But we've got to get the answers, and quickly. The future of the whole human race depends on this. Tavallera was about to ask what he meant by that, but he found himself back in his office in Atlanta, sitting in the same butterscotch armchair, staring at a blank wall screen,
just as if he had never been out of that room. Chapter 13. The screen chimed softly and spelled out, "Incoming message." Tavalera blinked. A surge of panic rushed through him. "This can't be happening. I'm going crazy." Holly Lane's young, eager face filled the wall screen, smiling, beaming at him.
"Raoul, I got your message."
She seemed bursting with joy.
"It's so good to hear from you. I thought, well, what I thought doesn't matter now, does it? Why didn't you call me earlier? How are you?"
Her words tumbled out in a bewildering rush. With the communications lag imposed by distance, it was customary for one person to talk while the other listened. But Holly was babbling away as if she hadn't spoken to anyone in years. Tavalera sat there, staring stupidly at her image on the screen, his mind in a whirl. "One minute I'm on his spaceship, and the next I'm back here. It's impossible. I must be cracking up." He started to tremble uncontrollably. His hands, his entire body, shook like a dust mote in a hurricane. Holly kept talking, smiling, laughing happily. Dimly, Tavalera saw that the digital clock readout in the lower corner of the screen indicated 3.5 hours had passed since he had sent his message to her. 3.5 hours! What happened? How did it happen? What's happening to me?
"I'll check with the science people, Raoul," Holly was prattling on. "But I really don't think they would rig up a fake message to send Earthside. They're too busy studying the bugs on Titan and those nanomachines in the rings. Maybe somebody else pulled off the joke, but I really don't think it was anybody here in Goddard. I'll ask Professor Wilmot to put together a little team of people to look into it. He doesn't have much to do these days, and..."
Through the whirlwind of emotions swirling through him, Tavalera faintly understood that Holly was happy to hear from him. "She's just running on and on because she thought I'd forgotten about her, but now she knows I haven't, and she's happy as a kid on Christmas, and how did he get me into this spacecraft and then back here again? How? How?"
"So what's it like being back home?" Holly asked. "How's your mom and all your old friends? Is the greenhouse flooding as bad as the news nets make it look? When will you be coming back here? Or do you want me to come to Earth? My term will be over in another 7 months. I can come then if you want me to."
Holly's uninterrupted monologue abruptly stopped. Her bright, eager expression faded a bit. Now she looked uneasy, almost worried.
"You do want to come back, don't you? I mean, I could come visit you Earthside, and then we'd go back together, right? Please tell me what you want to do."
She lapsed into silence. Tavalera sat there for several long moments, his thoughts tumbling wildly. "I was on his spacecraft," he kept telling himself. "I talked with him. He's real. He's alive. But so is Holly." He saw the anxious expression on her face, the hope in her eyes. With all his heart, he wanted to tell her how much he wished he were with her, how much he loved her. But he heard his own strangled voice grate, I can't talk. Can't..." The wall screen went blank. Holly's face disappeared. Tavalera just sat there, sagging in the armchair, mouth hanging open, heart racing. Then Sister Angelique's dark, almond-eyed face appeared on the screen, frowning with concern. "Mr. Tavalera, what's wrong? Are you all right?" He tried to speak, tried to shake his head, but the thundering of his pulse in his ears drowned out everything. It was like hammer blows battering him. He saw the room's ceiling slide past his glassy eyes, and then everything went black. Chapter 14. Tavalera heard a soft beeping sound, and for a panicked instant thought he was back in Stoner's spacecraft. He tried to open his eyes. They were gummy, but the lids slowly separated. Everything seemed blurred, misty. He was flat on his back and unable to move.
"He's coming out of it," a woman's voice said.
"Call Sister Angelique," said another voice, deeper, a man's. Tavalera blinked several times. His eyes still felt sticky, but he could make out a soft white ceiling above him. Turning his head slightly, he saw a bank of monitoring instruments lining the wall, fuzzy, blurred. "I'm in a bed," he realized. "This must be a hospital."
"Stimulant?"
asked the woman's voice. "Inject." Tavalera felt nothing, but his vision cleared. The room came into focus.